Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, October 24th, 2019. And today I'm concluding the very special tribute month to the memory and the person of Rahane Jabari. On this day, 5 years ago, all of us as human rights activists were bracing for the worst. It was the evening before the execution of Rahane. She was executed at approximately 5:20 a.m. Tehran time on Saturday, October 25th, 2014. Today, what I want to do in tribute to Rahane is read to you one of the most painful chapters I've ever had to write in my book, Rahane, A Beautiful Fragrance. And it is the chapter about the execution. And I don't want to waste any of your valuable time. I want to get right to it. And let's listen. It had only been 2 hours since Rahane's family had left to see her for the last time. She could still see her mother's tear-soaked eyes staring up at her. She could still feel her mother's arms around her. Now she was all alone in the cold steel coffin of solitary confinement. Rahane fell to her knees and quietly sobbed. She had held her emotions in for far too long now, and they finally were gushing out of her. Suddenly, she was interrupted by a tap on the tiny window of the steel door. She quickly composed herself and ran towards the door. It was Sahar. She had a worried look on her face. Sahar stretched her hand through the slit in the door where the food was delivered. She desperately wanted to touch Rahane's hand to comfort her, but Rahane pushed it away and turned her back. Go! I will lose my strength if I see you. I want to bring you dinner, Sahar replied with a tone of compassion in her voice. I don't have an appetite, Rahane snapped back. But you haven't eaten anything since morning. I don't want to eat anything. Go! Sahar reluctantly turned her back and walked away from the steel door in tears. Promptly at 12 midnight, two guards awakened Rahane from a deep sleep. She was quickly escorted from her solitary confinement cell into a waiting van that would take her to Raja Shahar prison for the execution. It was a 90-minute drive, and Rahane was scheduled to be hanged just before dawn. During the 90-minute trip, she sat quietly gazing out the window into the dark and cold October night. For a few fleeting moments, Rahani thought about her birthday. In just 12 days, she would turn 27. Immediately, as she thought about her age, she bowed her head in despair. There would be no celebration this year. The van entered through a steel gate at approximately 1:45 a.m. and came to a halt outside of a large building. Rahane was quickly escorted through the main entrance and processed. The two male guards on each side of her promptly took her into a large conference setting known as the interrogation room. For the next 2 hours, she would be subjected to an intense interrogation for the very last time. Rahani sat down on a chair facing the table. Two large Muslim men dressed in gray uniforms marched into the room and sat down across from Rahani. The intense lights blinded Rahani's eyes. She lifted her hand up in front of her face and rubbed her forehead to relieve the intense pressure from her headache. She had only slept for 2 hours and was extremely weak and exhausted. She still had a fever and a sore throat. Her stomach began growling from lack of food. Officers from the Mullah and intelligence offices swarmed into the room with a film crew. One of the tall, muscular interrogators looked Rahane intently into her eyes and screamed, "Just say he didn't try to rape you. Just confess that you bought a knife to kill Sarbandi." Hot lights flashed directly into Rahane's eyes. The lenses of the video camera focused tightly upon her face. Rahane lifted her arms up to protect her face. "Just say he didn't try to rape you," the interrogator screamed once again. Rahane's heart began to race from fear. She desperately wanted to crawl underneath the table and hide. She was weary and exhausted from the same questions and accusations over and over again. Taking a deep breath, she could see her father in her mind's eye, encouraging her for the last time, staring in her face, saying, "Be strong. Be strong, Rahane. Don't forget that you are Kurdish." Rahane slowly raised her head up and proudly looked her interrogators in their eyes. "I can't. I won't lie," she proclaimed with a loud voice. Almost on command, two male guards immediately approached Rahane and pulled her up out of her chair. Rahane didn't resist. She had no strength left in her body. Then one of the guards struck her in the face with the palm of his hand. Rahane collapsed onto the floor. The cameras followed her down on the floor. She lay still for a few moments, moaning in pain. Then one of the guards pulled her back up from the floor and sat her down once again in the chair. The interrogator pushed his face up against Rahane's face. Rahane was trembling. She couldn't look at him. "You purchased a knife to kill Sarbandi, didn't you?" the interrogator demanded. Rahane remained quiet. Suddenly she felt the heavy palm of a hand strike her firmly on her cheek. Rahane screamed and fell backwards in her chair against the wall. "Just say he didn't try to rape you," the interrogator screamed in her face once again. Rahane was so weary, she felt faint. The fever continued to rage within her body. After a brief moment, Rahane slowly raised up her head with the last drop of strength that remained. She gave the interrogator a defiant look from her tear-soaked eyes. "I can't. I won't lie." Disgusted, the interrogators kicked Rahane's chair and ordered everyone out of the room. He slammed the door shut. Rahane fell forward and laid her weary head down upon the conference table. At 4:15 a.m., Rahane was escorted back to the van. She sat down in the van and leaned her head back. The van quickly drove away from the large interrogation building down the roads towards an open field complex. Within a few minutes, the van came to a halt. Rahane looked out the window and saw a large platform surrounded by bright lights. In the center of the platform was a dangling noose and a tall chair. A sharp pain shot across her chest. She nervously swallowed. The two male guards hurried her out of the van. They walked up a short flight of stairs, arriving in the center of the platform. Rahane could feel the cold autumn air stinging her in the face. This morning she was wearing the same clothes that she dressed in to see her family for the last time, a white shawl covering her head with colored butterflies, a navy blue chador decorated with tiny white flowers, a navy blue shirt, and black trousers. Rahane stood silently on the platform in the dark, cold night with the broad spotlights illuminating the stage. Out of the corner of her eye, she noticed Jalal Sarbandi and his family arriving on the platform. They stood a distance of 25 feet from her. Jalal refused to look Rahane in her eyes. Instead, he turned away and held his mother in his arms to comfort her. At that moment, the two executioners, with their face covered in black masks, took a firm grip of Rahane's arms. They helped her step up on the top of the chair. One of the executioners then firmly placed the noose around Rahane's neck and tightened it. Rahane closed her eyes. Her whole body began to shake with fear. Sweat raced down her cheeks. She took a nervous, deep breath. Flashes from her childhood raced across her mind. She remembered as a little child being afraid to gargle with salt water for fear of choking. The horrible flashback in her mind was now a frightening reality. Rahane took another deep breath. She could see her mother's face and her eyes swollen red from crying. She could feel her arms tightly around her now. Tears streamed down her face. Then she saw the beautiful face of the Christian girl who had miraculously visited her in her cell. She could see the tiny metal cross in the palm of the girl's hand. Rahane saw herself clutching the cross in her hand. A gentle wave of comfort filled her soul. The pain, the fears, the hurts, and the bitterness began melting away. Rahane stared up at the black sky. "Where was God right now?" she nervously mumbled to herself. "Don't you care? Don't you love me?" Rahane then turned her head and for the first time gazed in Jalal Sarbandi's eyes. She could see fear and frustration beaming out from his eyes toward her. "Forgive me for the sake of my mother," Rahane whispered out loud. Rahane looked back toward the heavens and took a nervous deep breath. Then she gazed back at Jalal. "I swear to God that you will repent later and find out that you were wrong. Later you find out that I was innocent." Jalal walked away from the arms of his mother. Rahane swallowed nervously and closed her eyes. With a firm and forceful kick, the chair fell out from underneath Rahane's feet. There was a quick and forceful snap, and then an eerie silence followed. Dangling on a rope, suspended between heaven and earth, the beautiful Rose of Persia breathed her last. Rahane bowed her head and kissed the face of God. I want to pause and offer a moment of silence for the memory of Rahane Jabari and all of her family, friends, and loved ones. I want to read to you something very special, written by my good friend Shadi Pave, an Iranian human rights activist living in Canada. Shadi Pavey was the guest on my radio program, and she described in detail the translation of Rouhani's prison letters from Persian or Farsi into English. Shadi was responsible for this book in so many ways. If I didn't have Rouhani's prison letters, this book would have not been possible. It was from Rouhani's prison letters that I was able to transform this documentary biography into a novel. Rouhani described in detail the rape scene and many other events in her prison letters. In the book, I talk about these prison letters, and in one prison letter, she describes the amazing encounter that she had in her cell a couple of years before the execution. It was a girl who identified herself as a Christian, and she urged Rouhani to read other books. There was one more important book that she needed to read, and that was the Bible. And she shared her testimony with Rouhani, and then absolutely, this is exactly what Rouhani wrote. She gave her a metal cross. She placed this cross in Rouhani's palm of her hand. Rouhani didn't know how to react. It was at that time this girl disappeared. For the next day, Rouhani and her other cellmates looked all over the prison for this girl, and they never found her. This is one of the letters that did not get published online, but Sholeh, Rouhani's mother, shared it with me. From a Christian standpoint, there is only one explanation for this incredible encounter, and that was Rouhani was visited by an angel. There's no other explanation for it. This is amazing, but it is not rare. It happens. It happened in the Bible. It's happened in the lives of Christians in prison. It happened to Rouhani. And in my book, I describe how, through reading the Bible, in her brokenness, Rouhani regained hope once again. She had a reason to live. Prior to prison, Rouhani was not a religious person whatsoever. But she became, I believe, in prison, a Christian. Now, she couldn't broadcast that. It would be her death sentence before execution. She kept it to herself. But she wrote it in her letter, and she sent it to her mother. And through reading the Bible, Rouhani could say, and I write this in my book, I can forgive my interrogators. I can forgive those who abused me. Can you imagine for just one moment with me what it must have been like, sick with a fever, no strength, to be taken into an interrogation room before an execution, to be interrogated and physically abused? I can't even imagine that, but I know Rouhani got her strength from God, and she refused to lie about what happened to her, even to save her life. And tonight, or today, as I think back on the night I was at work, when in Tehran time the execution had already taken place, I write this in my book. I remember being in the chapel praying for Rouhani, and on my cell phone, I got a notification from YouTube. And to my utter amazement, on YouTube, there was a video uploaded. It was a video someone had taken in Tehran just an hour or so after the execution. It is Sholeh, Rouhani's mother, in a van screaming she has just learned that her daughter had been executed. I'm in the chapel praying, and I get this video uploaded from YouTube. It is an event in my life I will never, ever forget, because it was in that moment I connected with the pain of a grieving mother over the death of her daughter. I can't describe to you the emotions of that. It's just something that has just to this day haunted me. I want to take the time to read a short poem that Sade wrote, the translator of Rahane's prison letters. It's called Final Dawn. Near the horizon of your death on the desert, Salmon Dawn, how we screamed out your name, but the devil laughed and God slept. No one came but the brazen sun. How we begged, but the beast's stones would not turn. Still no one came at the gallows of your end. Your mother not to be at the foot of your death, far lost in vagrant screams of your name. Rahan, Rahan. Was it the moon or sun that kissed your goodbye in my stead? Or was it angels of dawn that carried you away above your broken life? Into their light of beings where you belonged from your first to your final dawn. From dawn to dawn, you shall sleep forever awake. And now, the poem, the short poem that I wrote for Rahane, entitled The Beautiful Rose of Persia. There is a rose that was silenced, that was crushed, but it will live again. The sun will shine again. You gave us hope, gave us healing, gave us life. Your life will never end. The rose will live again. The sun is going to shine again. The rose is going to live again. Give me wings of freedom so I can fly. I want to fly high. I want to soar. Give me wings of freedom or let me die. I want to touch the sky. I want to soar. I send Sholay and Shahrzad and Fairy Dune and Shari all of my love and prayers at this incredibly difficult moment of life that you are journeying through. And I want to share with you a song of comfort through this dark, difficult day. This is called I Am Not Alone by Carrie Job.
Thank you.
In conclusion, this morning on our very special tribute to Rahane, I want to read to you a short statement from Sholay Pakravan that was written on December 20th, 2014, just about 2 months after the execution. This is in the front of my book. It says, "My beloved daughter, I will release your writings into the wind to spread your words like seeds. A tree whose fruit that cries, the cries of justice and humanity. You will be the leader of those women who live in the shadows of rape, day in and day out. Women who are living in the shadows, fearing an unjustified death resulting from rulings tainted with administrative corruption and patriarchy." Sholay, thank you so much. I'm so honored that you released your daughter's writings, her prison letters, into my hands that I could make this very special book for you. It was just a few weeks after the execution on Rahane's 27th birthday that Sholay and her family had a very special birthday celebration in their home, and I have the pictures. Please do not forget Rahane. Please light a candle in her name and in remembrance of her suffering and her faithfulness to not lie and her faithfulness to stand strong. I want to thank every one of you this morning for joining me on this very special radio tribute to Rahane Jabari. God bless you, and I will see you next Monday on the cross in the desert.